Hello and welcome to MVP Tech Talk, Career, Coding, and Cookies. I'm Paul Robichaux, an Exchange MVP, and my co-presenter today is Bhargav Shukla, also an Exchange MVP. The show is designed to share best practices around career soft skills, talk about IT topics, and dev solutions, including open source solutions, with our community. Today, Bhargav and I are going to be talking about the role of the Cloud Pro. Now, Bhargav, you and I have talked about this a lot over the years, because as we've seen the cloud start to become more prevalent, the role of on-prem IT pros and on-prem administrators has started to shrink. So I don't want to take any credit for the term Cloud Pro. I think that, that came from Ben Curry and Brian Laws at Summit 7 Systems. But do you see a transition away from the traditional work that people do on-prem as we start to see more cloud stuff roll out?
Yes, I do. And actually, so you know, it goes quite a few years back when it was BPaaS.
Right.
People didn't actually care or pay attention too much to what was happening, but as the time was going, at that time I was in Microsoft, and what you saw was the term being coined cloud.
Right.
You saw more people talking about Office 365, and Azure was in its infancy at that time, and you saw more push, at least internally for us, was obvious that we needed to be ready to support those technologies as they're coming mainstream. And here we are 4 or 5 years later, and it's way mainstream, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? And if you don't know those technologies, it's probably not hurting you too much right now if your company is just not using it. But that's only, like you said, the on-prem, you see it shrinking, not because what's on-prem is going away, but what's in cloud is increasing.
Well, right. The scope of the cloud, you know, it's tempting to say the cloud is growing and it's covering more things, to extend on the cloud metaphor like a fog bank. But it's true, right? We went from a world where cloud computing was limited to a very small set of infrastructure services, BPaaS is a great example, to a world now where almost everything that you might want to do on-prem has got, if not a cloud replacement, then at least a cloud supplement or a cloud component.
Right.
Right, so we have identity management in the cloud, we have communication collaboration services in the cloud, we have this whole wealth of development services in the cloud with hosted Visual Studio and hosted
right.
TFS and so on. Then there are all these individual services within Azure for things like media transcoding or what have you. So many of the traditional things, that the traditional roles that people are used to playing on-prem go away. I mean, if you're
right.
an Exchange admin and you move to Exchange Online, you're not balancing DAG databases, and you're not trying to size servers or do backups or do the traditional things. So what does that leave? What do people have to know how to do instead?
Right. Well, and that changes what you as an IT pro are doing, what you will be doing if you happen to have a hybrid setup or go to Office 365.
Right.
So what you're used to is the control of your environment, full access to your servers. Well, you don't have servers, for an example, if you go to Office 365. That's all managed by Microsoft. So it brings you a completely different challenge. Now you're working with your users on one side and Microsoft on the other. Working on the problems becomes a different challenge. Now you don't have the servers to log into
right.
and look at the issues yourself. You have to rely on someone else. But now that you rely on, say, Microsoft support, for an example, when you go to them, they are going to ask you the right questions.
You hope. They're going to ask you the right questions.
Yes, absolutely. Right? And for benefit of our viewers, actually, if we just talk about a couple terms, SaaS, PaaS, and IaaS, because each offering has its own, you know, you have the SaaS software as a service,
right.
you have PaaS platform as a service, and you have infrastructure as a service for Azure. So what does that mean to you, the three different terms, and maybe some examples of services?
So I guess when I think of the different something as a service levels, there's a great graphic it was created by a guy whose name I can't remember, unfortunately, that used pizza as an example.
Right.
Right. And so he says, okay, if you order a pizza and they bring it to you, then these components are being provided as a service, and then you're providing your own soda and napkins and plates, let's say.
Right.
So if you want to take that model, if you think about platform as a service, that's a way for you to take some software and build on top of a service platform that somebody else is providing. So Azure Service Fabric is a great example of that. If you're an application developer, you might say, well, I could host these services on my own,
right.
or I could host them in Azure, or with Azure Service Fabric and Windows Server 2016, I could do both.
Right.
Where, you know, on our side of the fence, so to speak, from a communication and collab perspective, most of the time we're looking at one of two things, either a complete software as a service offering,
right,
like Office 365, or infrastructure as a service, where your cloud provider is providing you a place to run VMs, basically, and you run those VMs just like you would run machines in your own data center. But I don't see a lot of customers doing that, right? What I see people doing instead is saying, okay, I like the scalability, flexibility, potential cost savings of using a SaaS solution like Office 365.
Right.
But I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job, right? I'm afraid if I tell my company, hey, this is the right thing to do, that 6 months from now when the work is done, I'm going to be unemployed because they don't need the specialized skills that I have as an Exchange admin or a Skype admin or a SharePoint admin.
And
what do you tell people?
That's
like that?
Really what we wanted to talk about today, didn't we?
Well, let's get to it.
How do you stay relevant as an IT pro in this growing offerings of cloud, one way or the other?
Because developers are going to hate this. Developers have it easy, right? I mean, you have a whole new set of skills to learn to use, to effectively use a platform as a service solution.
To develop but you're still
writing code. Right. On the other hand, if you take the skill set that an Exchange or SharePoint admin has to have on-prem and you move that into the cloud, it's completely different. So yeah, you're right. So what do you tell people when they come to you and say, hey, I'm afraid I'm going to be unemployed. What do I need to do?
Well, so the first one, my obvious response is stay relevant.
Okay.
You won't be jobless if you stay relevant, right? And what that means is, if I give you an example, our user group that I have been running in Philadelphia for about 6 years now, we started as an Exchange user group, which expanded into UC user group.
Right.
And I was taking poll just last meeting, and I asked everyone, what do you think of changing the user group into a bigger cloud technology user group? And almost every hand went up, because everyone understands the value of staying relevant. And what that means really is, you might be Exchange guy, you might be a Link guy, you might be covering multiple technologies in most of the firms. You're not necessarily, I hate to use the word generalist, but you are actually straddling multiple technologies at times. How do you stay relevant and sometimes stay ahead? Because your company may not be deploying any of the cloud technologies today, but that doesn't mean they're not going to consider it in coming months. So you need to know what's there, how you translate your current skills into those. For an example, if somebody choose Azure infrastructure as a service because some of your applications that you want to move to cloud, it's the custom applications, that's not software as a service. Microsoft offers Exchange and Link, that becomes software as a service. The rest, you're going to build your own VMs, you're going to move your existing applications, just migrate them over. In that case, you would be learning different skills of managing the infrastructure, which you used to do in data center, but managing the same data center components in Azure, it's very different. You don't have same access you have in data center, right?
and in some ways, that's good, right? It means you're not necessarily going to get a pager call in the middle of the night telling you the server has caught fire in your data center. But from a relevant standpoint, you know, there are so many fundamental on-prem technologies that I see people trying to frantically catch up. PowerShell is probably the biggest example.
Right.
There are a lot of people now who are finally catching on to what the PowerShell team has been saying for 7 or 8 years now, that this is a wave of the future. So if you don't know PowerShell, learn it as quickly as you can. Get comfortable using it with your on-prem workloads. Get comfortable using it to do things like create a new Azure VM or even a Hyper-V VM, right? If you understand how to manage Hyper-V on-prem, that gives you a pretty good start on being able to manage Azure VM infrastructure, which is critically important. You need to understand, as Bhargav said, how does what you do now translate into the new world? If you're a SharePoint admin now, if you're an Exchange admin now, what does Microsoft do for you in the SaaS environment, and what do you still have to know how to do yourself?
And funny enough, the work doesn't go away as people sometimes think.
Their job is going to go.
It moves. Exchange, Link, SharePoint, whatever is offered by Microsoft, that's the software, but what you do of it is still up to you. So if you're a SharePoint developer or SharePoint admin, you still have to do work to manage that platform for your users.
Yep.
It's just going to be different, and that's a different skill set. You already know some of it. You have to translate it to how it relates to what you have access to in cloud.
Yes, very much so.
Right. And the other thing that you have to learn, the world is not just cloud either. It's a lot of hybrid. If you listen carefully to the Ignite keynote, if you learn what other technology events were for this year, almost every event that I went to had the similar theme of hybrid. It's important because it's not possible to just completely get rid of what you have on-prem and go to completely cloud. There are chances
It is, but it's burning down your house because you have ants in the kitchen. You know, you can't make that transition. But what we see, or you know, what I'm used to seeing in the consulting field is that the customers who are all cloud went from nothing straight to the cloud. Right. But there's still a huge role for hybrid identity management, hybrid directory federation. I mean, there are all these services that people have on-prem
right.
around Active Directory and around Mailflow and SharePoint. You know, with the advent of hybrid search and SharePoint, you're going to continue to see companies say, all right, I've got this huge amount of data on-prem, and I'm happy with where it is, I'm happy with how it's managed, but I also want new services like Delve and Delve Analytics, and so right. for that I'm going to have to sort of put a, you know, a pipeline out into the cloud. And so understanding how to manage that is going to be super important. Now, you know, one of the things we were talking about in the green room before we came in here is, so it's easy for us to say, well, you need to learn this, you need to learn this, you need to learn this. How do people go about doing that? Right? I mean, obviously there's a lot of material out there, but
right. So there are a couple things that I always point out. MVA is one of my go-to places.
The Microsoft Virtual Academy.
Because they have a lot of material. It's free.
Yep.
It's provided by Microsoft. And you don't only hear from Microsoft employees. Usually you have a panel, you have a Microsoft employee, you have an industry expert just duking it out, talking about the topic. And it's one of the great ways to learn. The other is I always take benefit of the trial accounts. Because the way I learn, everyone's different, but the way I learn is I need to have hands-on. If I'm just sitting there listening to someone, I will understand what they're saying, but it won't internalize until I actually try it. So you should definitely do that. That's the way I recommend. You know, if you do it once, it would burn into your memory a little bit. If you
right.
do it twice, you would probably not forget easily.
Well, and of course, there are some things in a cloud or hybrid environment that you're going to be doing over and over and over again. You'll get very
right.
accustomed to them very quickly. You know, one thing I want to emphasize for our viewers is that you can't depend on your employer to teach you this stuff. And the reason for that is that when I go out to talk to mid-size enterprises and large enterprises, if they've already made the decision to move to the cloud, they are at the point already where they need people with cloud skills.
Right.
If they don't have those skills in-house already, they're not going to wait for their employees to catch up and get those skills. They're going
right.
to hire a consulting company or they're going to hire outside people.
Right, absolutely. So, and you know, if I take it back 10, 12 years, it wasn't about cloud, but the idea was similar. I was a contractor working for a company and I was employed there on a contract basis. I had a few months to work with them. And there were projects that were lining up.
Right.
And I was staying ahead of that by just learning all the projects that were lining up. For an example, the RSA Secure ID. I just went ahead and learned it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Took the certification test to prove that I know at least, you know, enough to be an important part of that project. And that helped me continue my project with the company at that time. And it's just one of the things that as an IT pro or any other person in IT today, you can't just rest on your laurels. Right?
No, you can't let your skills stagnate. And unfortunately or fortunately, right? The speed of deployment in the cloud and the speed of change in the cloud means that if you wait for somebody to come to you and say, hey, I need you to learn technology X, you're already behind at that point.
Well,
because Microsoft is not waiting. Technology X might be what's out now, but X plus one and X plus two and Y and Z are just over the hill and they're going to be, you know, deployed in your face before you know it.
And just as you were talking about it, I was thinking the experience of writing the book that we went through for the exam reference
right.
for 2013, we were talking about the same thing, right? By the time the book comes out and a couple months later, it would become irrelevant if it wasn't the exam reference, because ultimately the technology is changing at such a rapid pace.
Yep.
Same goes for the hybrid book and the Office 365 book that Tony and Michael Van Hoornbeek wrote, right? They updated at such a rapid pace. I gotta say hats off to them for keeping up with all the changes.
It's hard, but it's doable. So I apologize for not having a nifty piece of paper to show the URL, but if you go to summit7systems.com/blogs, You'll be able to find the blog entry Brian wrote called Introducing the Cloud Pro. He's got a lot more material in there that I think is useful as a framework for the kinds of things that you need to learn if you want to transition from being an on-prem IT pro to a cloud pro. And Brian and I have had a lot of argument about exactly what he lists there, but it's a pretty good starting point to give you a sense for the kinds of skills you need to learn.
And the other suggestion, I guess, in closing, I would say is, you know, find your local user groups. Those are another avenues where you have experts sharing their knowledge, and it's a user group. So it's really all the different people coming together and sharing their own ideas, their own challenges, their own problems. And that's another avenue to learn a lot for next to nothing. You're the only investment you really have is time and effort.
Yep. Right on. Well, thanks for watching. I'm Paul Robichaux. This is Bhargav, and we learned today, by the way. Here's your first piece of cloud learning. This guy is named Nine Guy. See you next time.
Thank you.